So just to tie a bow on what these kids have done, we have a very small thing we'd like to go over, and it's a passage from Luke 2, verses 36 through 38. It's the proclamation of Jesus, and that's on page 910 if you're using a Pew Bible. However, we're able to get into two slides, so just try to go through this. They told me I've got 8 minutes, which looks about right. I talk fast and I'm caffeinated, so I feel good about where we're at. All right. Yeah, hey, man. All right. So here's our passage. There was also a prophetess, Anna, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was well along in years, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and was a widow for 84 years. She did not leave the temple, serving God night and day with fasting and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began to thank God, to speak about him to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So the first thing, we're going to look at three things with this lady, Anna, real quick. First, let's look at who she is. Anna says there was a prophetess, an important term, but we got 8 minutes, throw that one out. Daughter of Phanuel, not really important, and the tribe of Asher. Very important historical things, but not for this particular section. What's more important to us is that she was well along in years. She has lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage. So 7 years seems pretty good. There's no indication of children, but there is an indication of him passing away. So 7 years after her marriage, and she's a widow for 84 years. Now, to bring that into today's terms, it's somebody who's been suffering for a very long time. And I'm sure we all know people that are like that, if that's not been ourselves, carrying something around for 84 years seems like a really long time. And not only that, but just to bring, like, it's a historical story. She's a woman back in Israel. She can't just go get a job. She doesn't have children to come take care of her. So this lady is of immense suffering. For 84 years, carrying this around, she did not leave the temple. She's serving God night and day with fasting and prayers. She is doing the best she can. Looks like, sounds like, right? She's trying to cling to God. She's trying her best to cry out to him. Fasting and prayers is supplication. That's asking for God. That's fasting is giving up something good for something better. Though food is good, I'm going to give that up to spend more time with God. Although I can talk with my friends for counsel, I want to speak with God. I want to be clinging to him day and night in the temple. I mean, that's not from today's standards. I mean, that's the best thing that we could hope to do, is just to cling on to God. But at that very moment, she came up and began to thank God and to speak to him about all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So we have, at that very moment, we're going to tip that to the side, because something happens. Now she comes up and she begins to thank God, and she begins to speak to them about all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Redemption is the action of saving or being saved from sin, error, or evil. She's beginning to tell everyone who's looking for that. Her husband passing away is probably a pretty outrageous evil for this woman. And we're not told what happened, but we know just from what the Bible says that this is because of sin. Whether it's her sin, it's his sin, it's sin against them, whether it's natural causes, this is all caused from the fall from Genesis. But what happened to the serving, the fasting, and the praying? All of a sudden, it's turned to thankfulness. Thankfulness only happens when something has been given. Her prayers have now been answered. Her fasting and her supplication, that's all been, she sees it as being answered. Like, God has delivered on his promises. And she's starting to proclaim hope to those who are looking for the same kind of hope she herself was looking for. So it comes down to what happens at that very moment. And at that very moment goes back to what Pastor Kyle was preaching about last week, and this is Jesus' dedication at the temple. I'm sure, being in the temple for 84 years, this lady has seen numerous children being dedicated at the temple, but this one's different. This baby is different. This is not just a baby. This is God coming to us. She hears the things that are being said. This is Emmanuel. This is the baby that's being brought into the world. He is to be the Savior. He is to be the King. He is to be the hope. He is the one that's creating all things new. And we see in Isaiah 7:14, "Behold, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And for the first time in her life, she is laying her eyes on God, yet knowing for the last 84 years, God has never taken his eyes off her. God has provided the hope that she needs. He is the one that's able to walk her through what she's going through. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace." And I don't know what you guys are going through, and I don't know how long you guys have been carrying it around, but for 84 years, I'm sure this lady needed a wonderful counselor. And for the first time in her life, she's able to lay her eyes on God with her, the one who knows how to lead her through it, the one who knows what she's been going through before she even went through it. He's the only one that can relate to us. He's the only one that can make us clean. And he's the only one that can bring hope into this world. These kids were done, just got done proclaiming to you. And this is the whole point of God's church, is to proclaim his good news, his gospel to those around us. That's the point of this season. It's beyond presence. It's beyond stress. It's about God coming into the world humbly through the flesh like man and being able to suffer the sins and consequences that we deserved in order to give us his righteousness. And by trusting in him, we are brought back into good grace with the Father. And hope doesn't start sometime when we die. Hope starts now. Please pray for me. Lord, thank you for this time. We thank you for blessing us with these kids and this great message you've given us. We thank you for blessing us with help to just thinking of Christy and Sandy and Carrie, just putting this production together, Lord, allowing us to come here and to celebrate what these kids do. It's not easy. We ask, Lord, that we would not lose sight of what they proclaimed and what is proclaimed in this message, and that is that the child has been born to us. He is the King. He is the Savior. He is our hope. There's nothing in this world, Lord, that is more important than you. And we ask that during this Christmas season that we'd be able to cling to you, that our hearts would be softened, that we would turn to you, that we'd search you out through prayer and through scripture and through community, through church, through song, through praise, that we'd be able to thank you for all you've done, for all you've blessed us with. And we ask, Lord, that we would turn to you with those things that we've been carrying for a long time, the things that, the deep hurts that only you know about, Lord, that we would turn to look towards you, that we would come and see what you have to offer, Lord. Turn our hearts today and allow us to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sunday. Oops, sorry. I'm not even talking in the microphone. Is it on? Would you stand with me as we respond this morning?